Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
I have always loved this quote from the reformer Martin Luther, talking about what God's word did and can do. Luther wrote, "I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word. Otherwise, I did nothing. And then, while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my Philip of Amsdorf, the word so greatly weakened the papacy that never a prince or emperor did such damage to it. I did nothing. The word did it all." That's Martin Luther from the 16th century laying the entire credit for the 16th century Reformation at the doorstep of God's word and God's word alone. We say sola scriptura. Do we really, really mean it? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon, August the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joining us to study our listeners' second favorite hymn, "Thy Strong Word Did Cleave the Darkness," Dr. Arthur Just. He's professor of New Testament and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Author of the Lucan Commentary in the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. Dr. Just, welcome back.
Wonderful to be with you again, Todd, and I'm sitting in the beautiful state of New Hampshire, so it's nice with the technology we have that I can be here and you can be where you are and we can talk to your listeners.
And bring them this tremendous hymn on the Word of God today, especially in mass-marketed America and the church that so drinks so deeply of kind of the wisdom of man's ability to persuade. Do we underestimate the real power of God's Word?
Oh, I think we do. I mean, it's amazing how we have lost any sense that God's word is a performative word, that it is a word that creates what it says, and that it has the power to, like, you know, this hymn is going to tell us, I mean, it is the power that created the universe that we live in, and it had the power of recreation in the word made flesh when Jesus came, and when he spoke, people were healed, people were forgiven, people were raised from the dead. It is an extraordinary word, and I think it is still an extraordinary word. Its power has not been diminished, but I'm just not sure that people recognize the power as they did in the past.
Tell us a little bit about this tremendous man, theologian, and hymn writer, Martin Franzmann, who penned Thy Strong Word.
Well, Martin Franzmann is kind of a Renaissance man. In many ways, you know, he really is known for his hymns, but his vocation was really being a New Testament scholar. I mean, he's, I think, author of about seven books. The best known, "The Word of the Lord Grows," a historical introduction to the New Testament. He's got a wonderful book of sermons called "Ha Ha Among the Trumpets," and he wrote a commentary on Matthew and a commentary on Romans. Countless articles in various journals. But I think, you know, his hymns are what he is going to be known for. And maybe in some ways, when we look back hundreds of years from now, like Paul Gerhardt was, Martin Franzmann is going to be the most important name in the 20th century precisely because of his hymns. What he is a poet. And he is somebody who has the capacity to very much engage our minds. But because of his use of images and metaphors and the like, he is able to, you know, in a sense, engage the whole person. And, you know, I just reading this hymn over again, every time I sing it, and you learn new things. There's no limit to the meaning of these hymns. They're tremendous hymns, and he, you know, he was a man who had a tremendous capacity to not only write hymns but preach as well. His sermons, when you read them, I understand. I never had the privilege of hearing him preach, but I understand that you know, even though he may not have been a bombastic preacher, his words, every word mattered, and every word had meaning, and people would just go away stunned at what he said. He is definitely one of the great lights of the 20th century among Lutherans everywhere.
Let's jump right into the first stanza of Thy Strong Word. Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light dost send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end.
Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking.
What do you find there? Where does Franzmann begin when he talks about the Word of God?
Well, the whole hymn is about the light that God brings in Christ at the first creation and then at the new creation, especially from the cross. And one doesn't think of the cross as a place of light, but he will in that stanza speak of it that way. The first stanza is about how, you know, in the creation itself, the thing that really showed that it was God was the light that dawned. And that second phrase, at thy speaking it was done. Now there's the performative word. There's the word that has the power to bring out of nothingness, out of darkness, light and life. It's the created light, the light that brings creation. And, you know, we don't, I think, appreciate light in our, you know, modern world, our 20th century world, our Western world, the way they did back, you know, where there wasn't the kind of reflected light we have. If you go to a place where there is no reflected light, where it's just the stars, it's just the moon, you know, to be in that complete darkness. I always talk about going to Africa and especially being near the equator and not recognizing until I went there that, you know, when you're near the equator, you have 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness. Imagine every day, 365 a year, you're in darkness. Of course, 365, you're 12 hours of light. But the light and darkness is a huge reality for many people that we don't appreciate. And this stanza tells us that the light is what brings order. It is light that is, and one of the great attributes of God for the Old Testament Jews is Seder, which means order. What God does, when God is there, there is order. And the way order comes is when you can see. That's why darkness is a sign of Satan, because there are no points of reality. There's nothing by which you can see any kind of, it's chaos. I mean, you can't find your way. But light shows you that there's a way. Light shows you that there is a fixed point that you can move to. And this first verse says that in the creation, it was all about the light.
Stanza 2, picking up on the theme of darkness. Lo on those who dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death, broke the light of thy salvation, breathed thine own life-giving breath. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light dost send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end.
Right.
With only a minute before we take our first break, Dr. Just, there it is, the darkness as deep as death.
Yes, it is. And Franzman goes from Genesis 1 in the first verse to John 1 in the second verse. He moves from the creation of light in the first creation, and now Christ, the light of the world, in the recreation, in the new creation, in which Christ comes to bring light to a world plunged in darkness. And that is the heart of the incarnation.
When we come back, we're going to talk about that incarnation, and we're going to talk about that last line there before the refrain in stanza 2, breathe thine own life-giving breath. Now, you read that, you sing that, and you think about the original breathing of the breath of life from God into the lifeless Adam. But we're also talking about a word that is God breathed, the word that continues in Holy Scripture to breathe out God's life-giving breath. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break, studying our listener's second favorite hymn, Thy Strong Word, with Dr. Arthur Just, professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the Lucan Commentary in the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. More on the second stanza of Thy Strong Word on this Thursday afternoon, August the 12th, after this.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown in Kirkwood and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday School lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're studying the hymn, our listener's second favorite hymn, Thy Strong Word. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. The recording you're hearing is from a CD titled Hymns for All Saints, Adoration, Praise, Comfort. You can purchase it by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about the CD under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org, Hymns for All Saints, Adoration, Praise, Comfort. Dr. Just, that line, breathed thine own life-giving breath, evokes the creation narrative, but it has to be more than that. Paul tells us all Scripture is God-breathed. What do we know here?
Well, you know, this is one of those lines of Franzman that it has many levels of meaning. And if you go back to how he started that phrase, broke the light of thy salvation, breathe thine own life-giving breath. Now, I think that this, you know, verse is talking about the fact that Jesus is the one who has brought salvation by breaking into the darkness as the light. And I take that as Jesus breathing now his own life-giving breath by, you know, coming and becoming flesh for us. I think that this is just a magnificent way of showing that when the light dawns to make right what has gone wrong, that light being Jesus, then he begins to breathe out the life that was given in the first, you know, the creation in Genesis, and that he breathes it out precisely because he is the Word that speaks and it was done. So, you know, the Word is a living Word. It's a breathing Word. It's not just simply a dead Word or a Word that's just confined to a written page. Of course, it is that, but it's more than that. It's a life-giving Word. It's a Word that, as I said earlier, is performative. It creates what it says.
The two center stanzas are my personal favorites from Thy Strong Word. What should we be listening for in stanza three?
Well, they are my favorite, too. And I don't think there's a better stanza in the entire repertoire of hymnody than the third verse. And I think what it talks about here now, and it's interesting how he makes this move here before he goes to the cross. He speaks about the Word as being this Word that has power to create what it says. I mean, we are made righteous because of his strong Word. We bear his holiness. Our light comes precisely because we bear his holiness. And then I would love to write a book with this title, Glorious Now We Press Towards Glory. I mean, that is as great a summary as you will find of what the reality of the incarnation, the redemption, the atonement, the sacraments are about. We are glorious now because Christ is present here and present in us and present with us and present for us. And we are glorious now as we move towards the consummation of it. That is, some people say, what you have there is the now, not yet, and that's exactly what it is. Now we have it all, but not in its fullness until he comes again. But we have it all now because we have him. And we have him bodily, and we have his life-giving Word, his life that creates this reality of his presence. And, I mean, this is why we have hope. You know, this is why our lives confess that hope. The hope that we have is precisely because glorious now we press towards glory.
The third stanza, Thy strong Word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness. Glorious now we press toward glory, and our lives, our hopes confess. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light dost send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end. Dr. Just, there's something quintessentially Lutheran and biblical about this opening phrase. Thy strong Word bespeaks, declares us righteous. Talk about that.
Yeah, it is a way of speaking of justification that embraces, you know, the whole sweep of salvation history. Because, and you have to hear it in light of the first verse, Thy strong Word did cleave the darkness, at thy speaking it was done. Thy strong Word bespeaks us righteous. See, the same creative Word that reached into the nothingness, into the void, and created the world as we know it, is the same creative word that reaches into our darkness, into our deadness, and makes us right. Now, this is a reference, you know, to faith, to baptism. It's a reference to the reality of what justification by grace through faith is. It is exactly right, Todd. It is quintessentially Lutheran. And it shows you that Lutherans believe in a living faith and a living word and a living Christ. The word bespeaks and declares that that's a wonderful outside of us understanding of Lutheranism, that we bring nothing to this. This is God's doing. This is God's declaration. It is for us. But it does make Christ to dwell with us and in us. And so you have both sides of it. You have justification, and you have incorporation into Christ. And that word continues to live in us, which is why the next line, you know, glorious now we press towards glory. That is what we are. We are glorious because we are in communion with the one who brought glory through his cross.
And the cross is the subject, the particular subject of the fourth stanza. From the cross thy wisdom shining breaketh forth in conquering might. From the cross forever beameth all thy bright redeeming light. Alleluia, alleluia, praise to thee who light dost send. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia without end. Well, here, Dr. Jess, we are at the center of not only this hymn, but all of God's Word, aren't we?
We are. And the poetry of this is so wonderful. I mean, the last verse, it's pretty hard to top. But this one is close. From the cross. Those are the two, you know, that rhythm, that litany. And it's thy wisdom shining. That's Jesus. Jesus' wisdom shines forth in suffering. Now, Franzmann assumes that we're going to figure that out, that the cross is a place of suffering and death and humiliation and horror. And yet that's where wisdom shines forth, that it breaks with conquering might. Now here, Franzmann is echoing what a lot of the early church fathers talked about, how in that weakness, in that humiliation, in that degradation, Jesus, you know, despoils the principalities and powers. This is where he is the Christus Victor, the conqueror, even though he is in the greatest state of humiliation. And then from the cross forever beameth, you know, the wisdom shining forever ever beameth, what? Thy bright redeeming light. Now Jesus comes to redeem us and all of creation. The light shines in every corner of this universe, and it dispels the darkness. That's the hope we have, and it's the reality that we know, because this is what the cross does. The darkness at the cross was the final darkness. There is going to be no more darkness like that, because Christ is the light that beameth forth from that. He is the wisdom that shines.
With only 30 seconds, speak briefly about the word that is occupies nearly half of this hymn, that word Alleluia, about 30 seconds before our break.
Yeah, you know, I was going to talk about the refrain. Yeah, the Alleluia is the response to the light. When you have light, you give thanks. I mean, everybody can relate to that. If you've had a rainy week and all of a sudden the sun comes out, people it brings instant joy, it brings instant praise, it brings instant thanksgiving. And that's why this statement, praise to thee who light does send. In the hymn, I've always wondered why light isn't capitalized, because we praise God for sending Jesus, the light of the world.
When we come back, we'll look at the last two stanzas of this hymn. It's the second favorite of our listeners' hymns, Thy Strong Word. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. Kind of turns the corner in the last two stanzas and asks from God that his word continue to do its powerful work among us, in us, and through us. We'll be right back.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Another mom chooses life against the odds.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Monica Raffey of Chicago learned that her unborn baby had a serious heart condition that threatened her life. But she dismissed the idea of abortion and says, even if my baby was not going to survive, I would want to spend whatever time I could with her and meet her at the end. Monica and her husband chose aggressive care for their daughter. Today, 8-year-old Celine lives life full speed ahead, and Monica maintains a website called BeNotAfraid.net to offer encouragement and support to other parents faced with a serious prenatal diagnosis.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, inviting you to join us in our battle for life. For more, go online to sba-list.org.
I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. On this Thursday afternoon, the 12th of August, we're studying the hymn, Thy Strong Word. Dr. Arthur Just is our guest, professor of New Testament and director of deaconess studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Lucan Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and the 2-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. You can find out more about these commentaries under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. The fifth stanza, give us lips to sing thy glory, tongues thy mercy to proclaim, throats that shout the hope that fills us, mouths to speak thy holy name. Alleluia, alleluia. May the light which thou dost send fill our songs with alleluias, alleluia without end. Your thoughts, Dr. Just, on this fifth stanza of Thy Strong Word.
One of the things that Franzmann said in his writings is that theology is doxology, that theology must sing. And there is no greater verse that embodies that, you know, reality for Franzmann than this one. And here you have the great kind of rhythm of just our own worship, our own lives. God gives, which is what the first four verses are about, how God gives the creation itself, and then when it falls, he comes into the darkness with light and brings about a new creation in his Son through the cross. And now in response to that, you know, glorious now we press towards glory, give us lips to sing thy glory. And I love this phrase, tongues thy mercy to proclaim. That word mercy shows that is what all those first four stanzas are about. God's mercy of bringing light into the darkness. And, I mean, throats that shout the hope. He's talking about the praise, the hymns, the singing, the response of the people of God in thanksgiving, in Eucharist, to what God has done. And here in these last two stanzas, we're going to see he changes kind of the refrain. The first four stanzas all had the same refrain, but now he changes them, but not a lot. I mean, there's an echo of those. And this one in particularly, Alleluia, Alleluia. And then instead of praise to thee who light does send, he says, may the light which thou dost send fill our songs with Alleluia, Alleluia without end. Now, this shows you that if all theology is doxology, then all theology is doxology about the light, about Christ. So all theology is doxology because it's Christology. We had one of my colleagues, we did a Feshrif for him, Dr. David Scare, called All Theology is Christology. We praise God, which we give him glory, precisely because the light is Jesus. And there is no greater description of our praise, our response to God's acts of redemption than this verse here in thy strong word.
I remember some of this hymn many times, but it has kind of become the standard installation ordination hymn. It's a boilerplate for many Lutheran congregations. And so you get a lot of pastors crowded into a chancel singing this hymn. And every time I watch these men singing this fifth stanza, I'm struck by the fact that this fifth stanza actually does what it's asking for, and that it anticipates, mouths to speak thy holy name, the final stanza of Franzmann's hymn, Thy Strong Word. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And you know, it is a hymn we sing a lot. And there are some hymns that you sing a lot and you actually get tired of. But I never get tired of this one. And that's what I mean. His poetry is alive every time you sing it. And that's a brilliant observation, Todd, that verse 5 basically propels us into verse 6, which could perhaps be the greatest Trinitarian doxological stanza ever written. I mean, if you think about what is going on in verse 6, it is the height of praise. It is the height of anything that we could possibly say about God. Not just that it's Trinitarian, but that it embraces not only everything that Franzmann has said in this hymn, but the very nature of God's creative and recreative word. And it is as magnificent a stanza as we could sing in any hymn.
God the Father, light creator, to thee laud and honor be. To the light of light begotten, praise be sung eternally. Holy Spirit, light revealer, glory, glory be to thee. Mortals, angels, now and ever, praise the Holy Trinity.
Thank you.
Dr. Just, the congregation where I serve, we customarily, the clergy do customarily bow low during the invocation of God's name, wherever it appears in the liturgy or in the hymnody, and we are bowed for this entire final stanza. There's no place at which one feels that they should stand up and straighten up again.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And I mean, the imagery here is just almost beyond words. I mean, the Father is like Creator, and then, I mean, the echo of the Nicene Creed, light of light begotten, there's the Son, and then the Holy Spirit, the light revealer. We give laud and honor, we sing praise, we glory, glory be to thee, and then it's us. I mean, we mortals, angels, now and ever, praise the Holy Trinity. You can't really even comment on this verse. It's too sublime.
It is in this hymn. I would suspect. I mean, a lot of hymns simply have a doxology to round it off or to function as. In case you didn't know, this is a Christian hymn. The God to whom we are singing. This last stanza does more, doesn't it? With about a minute and a half.
That's absolutely right. And what it does is, I mean, you're I think suggesting that some doxological verses are they appear to be maybe not artificial, but they're an add-on. They don't really relate to the rest of the hymn. This is a summary of this hymn. This is what this hymn is all about. What he does is he takes us back to the creation with the Father. He shows us the new creation in the Son, who is the light that is begotten, you know, in the Father, and you know, it is also the one that shows that the Holy Spirit is the revealer of Christ. I mean, and it's light. It's the light of the world, and Jesus is the one that, in a sense, reveals to us the very nature of God as light. And that's why John's Gospel is so important to us, because John's Gospel speaks of Jesus as the light of the world, and it begins with creation in John 1. So this, and that's one of the, John 1, 1 to 14 is one of the texts that Franzmann used for this. And I love the reality of the eschatological community, mortals, angels, now and ever, all of us together in Christ, singing praise to the Holy Trinity, the light creator, the light of light begotten, and the light revealer.
With only about 30 seconds, this is also a deeply creedal. I mean, it draws forth, in some cases, the actual language of the Christian creeds.
It does. I mean, to thee, light of light begotten, that has always struck me as being, you know, just such a magnificent way and such a tight to bring the whole creed into this hymn. And then it makes you realize when you sing that you've already sung the creed in a sense. I mean, you've taken the journey that the creed takes us through, from creation through redemption, you know, into the ongoing sanctification of the world through the Spirit that reveals to us now the light of Christ.
Dr. Arthur Just is our guest. This is our listener's second favorite hymn, Thy Strong Word. When we come back, we'll hear the entire thing, and we'll get Dr. Just's final thoughts on this Thursday afternoon, August the 12th. Dr. Just is professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back. 10 more minutes with Dr. Arthur Just, studying the hymn Thy Strong Word on this Thursday afternoon. Folks, hymn studies are unique to Issues Etc. If you appreciate these hymn studies, please consider making a tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Or you can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for remembering us during these difficult summer months. Let's listen to the entire hymn, Thy Strong Word.
Oh,
listeners' second favorite hymn, Thy Strong Word. Dr. Just, your final thoughts on this hymn.
Well, Franzmann gives us here a hymn in which the theology in it is a theology that sings. This is doxology in its highest form. Some people call this a theology that is primary, which means that this is the theology of the people of God in worship, where theology is most real because it flows out of a presence that is real. And this kind of doxological theology takes place when God speaks his creative word to his people, and they are transformed by that speaking into glorious beings who glorious now press towards glory. And then, as we said in verses 5 and 6, they respond back to God with words that he himself gives them to speak, hymns that he gives them to sing, hymns that are doxology in their highest form. This is powerful stuff. This is the poetry, the power of poetry that hymns like Franzmann's can unleash. And this isn't a shallow power. This is a power that is more than anything that we can possibly even describe. It's a power that permeates the very fiber of every human being that gathers around the fleshly presence of Christ. It's a primitive power, like breathing. And that's why we love this hymn, because it says to us, this is who we are in Christ, because this is what he has made us. And what I love is that the cross is in the center of Franzmann's hymn. He embraces theology that is cruciform, that is a theology that understands suffering, but sees it also as the way in which we glimpse God's glory. This is the kind of primitive and radical power of the gospel that, as I said before, is beyond description. It goes deep into our heart, so deep that it is almost impossible to define or retrieve, and yet Franzmann has done it here. He's done it through poetry, he's done it through image, he's done it through this magnificent language. And it is a theology that is not just doxological, but it tells us that we are new people in a new creation, healed and restored by the light of Jesus that this hymn is all about.
Dr. Arthur Just is professor of New Testament and director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the Lucan Commentary and the Ancient Christian Commentary on Scripture series, and the two-volume Concordia Commentary on Luke. Dr. Just, thank you very much for your time.
It's always a delight to be with you, and many summer blessings to your audience.
Well, tomorrow we're going to study your favorite hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, a hymn all about baptism and the life of the baptized. Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, will be our guest. That one line says it all. At his speaking, it was done. God speaks, and it is done. What he says, he does by his word. Whether it is creation, he speaks it into existence. He orders all things by his powerful word. He sustains all things by that same word. Or when he speaks definitively, that is, reveals himself definitively, when the eternal word, the second person of the Trinity, the only begotten Son, takes on human flesh, and by the power of God's word is incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary and set upon the path to the cross, where finally that word made flesh will speak a word, it is finished. And with that single word, finished, it is done. It is done. The sacrifice for sins is made and is complete, and what that sacrifice has won is ours. And that word made flesh continues to speak, and it is done. He says, your sins are forgiven. He speaks, it is done. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.